Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1962 with a release date of Friday, April 24th, 2015 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. An Australian ham radio floater balloon makes a trip around the world. The FCC proposes new privacy rules for amateur radio operators' historical information. The 2014 CQ Worldwide SSB contest disqualifies some hams and warns others. Palmyra Atoll DX operation announced for early 2016. Barbados warns CBers and hams not to use excessive power. And possibly the greatest selfie is taken by a ham radio operator on the ISS. Find out who took it on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1962 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first and only independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
After being released in Victoria, Australia on Monday, April 6th, a foil party balloon called PS-41 has achieved the longest range in Project Picoscope and has circled the globe. This became official on Thursday, April 16th, as PS-41 crossed the 144.903 degree longitude, marking a completion of its epic voyage. Brian Pliatzios, VK3GR, of the WIA News, reports.
The latest solar-powered, helium-filled balloon, PS-41, launched by Andy Nguyen, VK3YT, on April 6, has a HF payload, transmitting 25 milliwatts on the 30-metre and 20-metre bands, sending whisper spots and JT9 telemetry. This high-altitude balloon took a path over Tasmania, then south of New Zealand, the southern tip of South America, directly over the South Georgia and southern Sandwich Islands, well south of Africa and back to Australia where it began. While south of Tasmania, it abruptly changed course instead of heading straight across its initial path. Another balloon, PS-42, had earlier made its way to the southern Pacific, between New Zealand and South America before splashing down. Andy Nguyen, VK3YT, says the balloon PS-41 tracked extensively via JT9 by a network in VK, ZL, South America and South Africa and Ireland. Whisper spots have been received all over the world.
In another attempt, PS-42's sister balloon, PS-30, went down on January 16th in suspected poor weather off the east coast of Africa near Madagascar. The emergency medical evacuation of a sick amateur radio enthusiast from Pagasa Island was delayed for several days. This after a Chinese naval vessel reportedly harassed a Philippine Air Force patrol flight in the Spratly Islands on Monday, April 20th, forcing the cancellation of other flights to the disputed territory. Leo Almazan, WA6LOS, a member of the Mabue DX group, told InterAcasian.com they had gone to Pagasa to set up an amateur radio operation and to test a portable solar power system in cooperation with the Philippine Navy Research and Development Center. They were also to conduct a small-scale medical mission, as one of their members is a doctor. However, over the weekend, one of the team members, Chito Pastor, WW6CP, came down with a kidney infection from drinking the highly saline local water after the supply of drinking water the ham radio enthusiasts had brought with them ran out. The morning of Monday, April 20th, Almazan said the Philippine Navy was getting ready to send an Islander aircraft to fly Pastor off Pagasa for medical treatment. However, the Mercy flight was canceled after a Chinese frigate fired an illumination round on a military patrol aircraft. Almazan said that although the rescue aircraft was later cleared to fly to Pagasa on Wednesday morning, it developed engine problems and would be delayed. He later said he had received another message from Navy headquarters. It said that a civilian aircraft had been cleared to fly the medical mission on April 23rd. This would be the latest in a long string of run-ins over the Spratlys, where China has embarked on an aggressive reclamation and construction spree on disputed islands and reefs. It follows an incident on April 13th, where a Chinese Coast Guard vessel fired a water cannon on Filipino fishermen near Scarborough Shoal. The FCC has initiated a proceeding in WT docket number 15-81 to amend its rules of organization. This as applied to amateur radio licensee address information that is routinely available for public inspection. Specifically, the FCC proposes to revise its rules to specify that past amateur radio licensee address information will not be routinely available for public inspection. To implement this change, the FCC proposes to remove from public view in the Universal Licensing System an amateur radio licensee's address information that is not associated with a current license or pending application. Current licensee address information would remain public. The FCC said in the notice of proposed rulemaking that it believes these steps will enhance an amateur radio operator's privacy, and doing so without undermining the public interest in knowing who is authorized to operate on amateur spectrum. The Commission is also seeking comment on whether this approach should be extended to individual licensees in any other wireless radio services, such as the general mobile radio service, commercial radio operator licensees, and individuals who hold ship station or aircraft station licenses. Comments on WT docket number 1581 are due by June 16th. Reply comments must be filed by July 16th. The CQ Worldwide Contest Committee has published a list of those amateurs who were disqualified from the 2014 CQ Worldwide SSB contest or who received warnings for their operation. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, has the details.
The CQ Worldwide Contest site carries a statement that explains the action. It says, and we quote, "The CQ Worldwide Contest Committee takes its job as referee for the contest very seriously. Each year, a group of dedicated members spends many hours poring over logs, listening to SDR recordings, and following up on input from the contest community. We do not have perfect information, and it is difficult when each entrant is operating from their own station without any outside observer. Even so, the logs and recordings often tell us a clear story. It's our job as referees to call them as we see them," end quote. The statement goes on to say that each disqualified entrant will have been notified of the decision and given 5 days to respond. This is to allow everyone the opportunity to present an explanation of what appears in the log. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. I'm in the newsroom in Los Angeles.
The CQ Worldwide Contest is the largest amateur radio competition in the world, with over 30,000 participants. The list of disqualified stations and those issued warnings is at tinyurl.com/CQ-WW-SSB-2014-blog. In DX Upfront, Craig Thompson, K9CT, and Lou Dietrich, N2TU, have announced that they will be heading up a de-expedition to Palmyra Atoll to take place in January of 2016. With them will be a team of 12 highly experienced operators and veterans of many de-expeditions. They plan to operate 5 stations over a 14-day period on 160 to 6 meters using all modes. A call sign for this operation will be announced at a later date. Palmyra, which has the prefix KH5, ranks in the top 10 on the most wanted list and is number 2 most wanted in Europe. More is on the web at palmyra2016.org. The ARRL DX Advisory Committee Staff Liaison Dave Patton, NN1N, reports that several operations have been approved for DXCC credit. These are all in the 2015 timeframe and include 3XY5M from Guinea, E30FB from Eritrea, and C21EU from Nauru. You can file for DXCC credit for working these operations now. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K0ASH repeater of the Ashland Amateur Radio Club in Ashland, Nebraska. The programs have stopped coming from an unlicensed radio station operating out of a home in Linden, New Jersey. Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford, N8WB, has the details of how the station was taken off the air without the intervention of the FCC.
On Monday, April 13th, officials from WKXW, likely better known to its listeners as New Jersey 101.5 FM, contacted the city of Linden police with a complaint that another station was operating illegally on a frequency of 101.3 FM. In a statement, Captain James Sarnicki said that the letter sent by 101.5 FM indicated that the station had conducted its own investigation. In doing so, it had identified the illegal transmission as coming from a private home and included pictures of a large antenna on the roof. Station officials also noted that they had received multiple listener complaints about bad reception since the unlicensed station was interfering with their signal. According to Captain Sarnicki, the Linden police contacted the FCC and were told an investigation would take a couple of weeks to complete. They then reached out to the city's municipal code enforcement officials, who found the home violated zoning ordinances. Under these regulations, the unidentified station operators would not be allowed to run a business in a residential area. The antenna, being more than 20 feet high, qualified as an illegal structure on the roof. Captain Sarnicki said police notified the homeowner of the complaint and that the summonses and fines would follow if the antenna stayed up and the station continued operating. A few days later, on April 15th, New Jersey 101.5 FM was notified that the antenna was removed and the unlicensed transmitter was off the air. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinfort, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio.
Operating an unlicensed radio station above a tiny power output and without a license is a fourth-degree crime in New Jersey. It is one of two states, along with Florida, where such an action is a criminal offense. The telecommunications unit in the Barbados Division of Energy and Telecommunications has reminded the island nation's amateur radio operators and CBers that they must not operate their equipment at power levels which exceed the legal limit. Investigations of interference have revealed that some operators were using between 1,000 and 5,000 watts. Telecommunications officer Ishmael Kadigan explained that some hobby CBers and amateur radio operators were using excessive power, and this was causing interference with television, radios, telephones, and even pacemakers. Both Kadigan and fellow telecommunications officer Jason Haynes stressed the vital role that amateur radio and CB operators played, especially during the hurricane season and other disasters. Haynes noted that there were fewer issues with the amateur radio operators because of the requirements for successfully obtaining a license. On the other hand, CBers simply had to apply for a license. There are 140 licensed CBers and 155 licensed amateur radio operators in Barbados. Haynes said that while the interference problems being experienced involved a select few, it was important to deal with the offenders because of the impact their actions were having not only on their communities, but on fellow radio operators. An ARRL ham aid kit of high-frequency gear has arrived in Federated States of Micronesia as part of a relief effort in the wake of Tropical Cyclone Maysak. That storm ravaged many of the nation's islands in late March and early April, wreaking major damage and causing some deaths. According to the ARRL, the ham aid equipment accompanied a shipment of other radio gear, tools, and supplies that John Bush, KH6DLK/V63JB, took from Hawaii to the storm-devastated area. In this case, only the high-frequency gear was sent. Ham aid kits containing both high-frequency and VHF-UHF equipment had been shipped to Hawaii last fall as the massive Puna volcanic lava flow threatened some communities on the Big Island. Spain's 6th Emergency Communications National Exercise, or ENCE, was held on Saturday, April 18th, from 1600 to 1700 UTC, and was open to international participation. This year's EMCE was devoted to voice over internet protocols that included Echolink, IRLP, D-Star, and System Fusion. Event organizers say that if a disaster occurs, the internet can be one of the first resources to fail in the affected area. But outside the immediate disaster zone, it is a very powerful emergency response tool to consider. This year's EMCE emphasized the use of technologies that allow attaching radio and the internet without sacrificing classic modes of communication. The overall purpose of the exercise was to bring an opportunity to all those radio amateurs interested in practicing operational skills. Germany's National Amateur Radio Society, the Deutscher Amateur Radio Club, or DARC, reports that amateur radio groups in colleges and universities are of growing interest in that nation. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bruce Tennant, K6PZW, has the details.
DARC officer Annette Cohen, DL6SAK, and Joaquim Posega, DL7JP of the University of Passau, say there are now 36 universities with ham radio groups listed in the German-speaking world. Also, these German universities are being complemented by English-speaking colleges in neighboring countries such as Switzerland and Austria. An email network exists to facilitate the exchange of information on planned amateur radio activities at the universities. The goal of this link-up is to promote young talent and organize training courses. A list of European universities with amateur radio groups can be found in the German language posted at tinyurl.com/university-linkup. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
The first in-person meeting of participants in this project will take place on Saturday, June 27th at the annual Ham Radio Convention in Friedrichshafen, Germany. New Zealand telecommunications regulator Radio Spectrum Management has given permission for use of the special call ZL100ANZA until May 26th. This to assist hams in that nation to help commemorate the Anzac centenary. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, has more.
Anzac Day is one of the most important national commemorative occasions down under. This year it marks the 100th anniversary of the first major military action fought by Australian and New Zealand forces during the First World War. To commemorate the Anzac centenary here in New Zealand, ZL100 Anzac will be activated by a group of amateur radio operators, all of whom responded to register interest in operating the call sign. Its operation will start on April 25th at midday New Zealand time and will last for 1 month. All logs will be collated by John Basili, ZL1ALZ, and posted on a regular basis to both Logbook of the World and Club Log to enable other operators to check their QSOs. The QSL manager is Phil Holliday, ZL3PAH. An OQRS will be available via Club Log for both direct and bureau cards. Cards sent to the QSL manager directly or via the bureau will also be accepted. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, down under in Nelson, New Zealand.
The acronym ANZAC stands for Australian and New Zealand Army Corps, whose soldiers were known as ANZACs. Some names in the news. The South Africa Radio League has elected Fritz Sutherland, ZS6SF, as its president, and Nico von Rensburg, ZS6QL, as its vice president. The voting took place at the first council meeting following the organization's annual general meeting that was held Saturday, April 18th. Also from South Africa comes word that the ICOM Excellence Award, which is considered the premier award of the South African Radio League, was presented to Stuart Moss, ZS6SGM. Moss has been instrumental in getting the whisper propagation research off the ground, having supported several clubs and individual amateurs experimenting with this mode. He is also credited with having set up the ZS6SRL whisper beacon, has written tutorials, and analyzes the results. All of this data will be included in reports to South Africa Telecommunications Regulator, ICASA. According to Carol Perry, WB2MGP, astronaut Mike Fink, KE5AIT, will be coming to speak to her Dayton Hamvention Youth Forum. Also, the American Radio Relay League is sponsoring her 8 young presenters to attend a lunch with him afterwards. They will be joined by other young hams chosen from the audience. WB2MGP's Youth Forum is scheduled for Saturday, May 16th, from 9:15 to 11:45 in Meeting Room 2 of the Hara Arena in Dayton, Ohio. The full rundown of Hamvention 2015 forums is at hamvention.org. This is Ham Radio News for today's radio amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. Scientists have built a flexible aluminum battery, which they say could be a cheap, fast-charging, and safe alternative to current designs. The prototype consists of a soft pouch containing aluminum for one electrode and graphite foam for the other, and all surrounded by a special liquid salt. It can recharge in less than a minute and is very safe and durable compared to lithium-ion batteries. The only drawback is that the new design currently only delivers about half the voltage, but work is ongoing to improve this. On the plus side, and unlike other designs, this battery will not catch fire even if accidentally punctured or drilled through. The work appears in the journal Nature. You can find it at tinyurl.com/aluminum-salt-battery. AMSAT has announced plans to incorporate a 23-centimeter L-band receiver in the Fox 1C and Fox 1D ham radio satellites. The addition will allow ground-commanded selection of the normal Fox 1 VHF and UHF bands or the new L-band 1.2 GHz mode. Both bands will operate as FM single channel. Rather than adding a complete new receiver, the L-band Project Downshifter will convert the received L-band signal down to the Fox 1 uplink frequency and feed it to the regular UHF receiver on the Fox 1 satellite. The design will not require an additional antenna on the satellite because the existing UHF antenna will work for L-band receive as well. The High Altitude Balloon Experiment, or HABEX, will be taking to the skies for the 10th time on Saturday, April 25th. The payload will include an APRS tracker, active on 144.800 MHz, signing ZS6COG-11. A simplex repeater on 438.550 MHz, and a slow scan amateur television camera streaming still images from altitude. It will operate on 433.400 MHz FM using the SCOTY 1 mode. This launch is part of the Global Space Balloon Challenge, which sees more than 250 balloon launches worldwide during April. For more information and an information sheet on HABEX 10, visit the site www.habex.za.net. FunCube 1, also known as AO73, is again transmitting telemetry. The CubeSat had stopped transmitting at around 2018 UTC on Wednesday, April 15th. A restart took place during a passover Europe at 0930 UTC on Thursday, April 16th. Controllers are still investigating what caused the bird's telemetry to go silent, but they have concluded from earlier data transmissions that it was safe to switch back to nominal operations. The GB3ANG 432 MHz propagation beacon located just north of Dundee, Scotland, has received a new transmitter. It has also altered its operating frequency from 432.453 MHz to comply with the new IARU Region 1 band plan. These changes were made on April 13th by the beacon keeper, Alan Duncan, GM4ZUK, with assistance from A.G. Marsden, GM4FEI. The old beacon transmitter had been built by Brian Flynn, GM8BJF, and was in continuous service for 33 years. There are three other beacons co-located at the GB3ANG transmitter site. These are on 70, 144, and 1296 MHz, but their operational parameters remain unchanged. In DX, S5500 will be active as 9H300 from Malta between April 24th and May 2nd. His operation is on 40 through 6 meters using CW, SSB, and the digital modes. QSL via his home call sign, direct or by the Bureau. Electronic QSLs go via Logbook of the World and EQSL. Look for his location and some photos to be posted on QRZ.com. JH2DF will be active as T88DF from Republic of Palau between April 27th and May 1st. Operations will be on the high frequency bands and 50 MHz using CW, SSB, RTTY, SSTV, Whisper, and JT65A. QSL via his home call sign, direct, by the Bureau, Logbook of the World, and EQSL. ON6VJ and ON1CH will be on the airstroke MJ from Jersey Island from May 14th to the 18th. Their operation will be on 160 through 6 meters using SSB only. QSL via each operator's home call sign. DL2RPS will be active as S79RPS from the ANSI National Park on Praslin Island between May 2nd and the 8th. This operation will be on 80 through 10 meters using CW and SSB, depending on conditions. QSL via his home call sign, direct, or by the Bureau. Electronic QSLs go via EQSL or the OQRS on Club Log. F8WBN will be operational as 5U5U from Niger between May 30th and June 16th. Activity will be holiday style on 40 through 6 meters using SSB and some RTTY. QSL via his home call sign, direct only. Lastly, IU2CIQ, IZ1UJE, and IZ1ZHG will be on the air from Monaco as 3A/IU2CIQ between June 5th and the 7th. Activity will be on 80 through 10 meters using mainly SSB, but some CW and RTTY. QSL 3A/IU2CIQ via IU2CIQ via the Bureau. cards for IZ1UJE direct or electronically using Logbook of the World. And finally, this week, almost everyone on Earth has taken a selfie in various locations and occasions. But International Space Station astronaut Samantha Cristoforetti, IZ0UDF, has made every selfie taker jealous of her out-of-this-world photo, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Samantha Cristoforetti, IZ0UDF, is an Italian astronaut from the European Space Agency, currently living and working on the International Space Station. On Friday, April 17th, she shared a selfie on Twitter taken on board the orbiting space laboratory. In it, Cristoforetti was dressed as Captain Catherine Janeway of Star Trek Voyager, with a tiny ISS pin in place of the traditional chevron. Over her shoulders, through a viewing window, is the SpaceX Dragon cargo craft that delivers supplies to space station crews. The text of her tweet is an in-joke that fans of the Voyager series will recognize. In the fifth episode, titled The Cloud, when Janeway is told there's energy in a nearby nebula, she quips about her favorite beverage. Followers were giving thumbs up to her selfie, saying that she looks a lot like the famous Delta Quadrant pioneer of Starfleet. Besides carrying out an extremely busy science program in Europe's Columbus Laboratory, IZ0UDF has been busy with the final ATV-5 cargo vehicle and the new SpaceX and orbital vehicles, as well as supporting multiple spacewalks. She has also found time to operate one of the ARISS ham radio stations on board the ISS. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
Samantha Cristoforetti is aboard the ISS to perform several scientific experiments in the space station's microgravity laboratory. Her team's study is part of the Futura mission, which was launched in November 2014. She will return to Earth in mid-May. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Before we go, a reminder that Amateur Radio Newsline is seeking nominations for its 2015 Young Ham of the Year Award. For consideration, a nominee must have used amateur radio in some way that has benefited his or her community or encouraged technological development directly or indirectly related to communications. Nominees must be 19 years or younger and reside in the United States, including Hawaii, Alaska, and Puerto Rico, or any of the Canadian provinces. The individual must also hold a currently valid United States or Canadian amateur radio license. The deadline for submitting an application is May 30th, 2015, and the decision of the judging committee is final. To obtain an application, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to 2015 Young Ham of the Year Award in care of Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. You can also download a form in Microsoft Word format at www.arnewsline.org/YHOTY, clicking on the word here and saving the file to print at a later time. Presentation of the 2015 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award will take place the weekend of August 15th and 16th at the Huntsville Ham Fest in Huntsville, Alabama. For now, with producer Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF in Los Angeles, plus our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Topeka, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015, all rights reserved.